The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Okay, Philippians chapter 2, if you would turn with me there to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Believe me, I was tempted to try to keep going with Ecclesiastes and try to turn it into a Christmas thing, but I really feel like we need to talk about something maybe a little bit different today. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of a guy by the name of Ravi Zacharias, beloved evangelical leader of ours, and he wrote in a book, Questions I Would Like to Ask God. And he wrote this. He says, I have often referenced the quote by the talk show host Larry King. We all familiar with Larry King? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're familiar with Larry King. And he was talking about his response, or quoting his response to a particular question. And here's what Ravi Zacharias, or what Larry King said. If you could select, or the person asked Larry King, if you could select one person across all of history to interview, who would it be? Well, Larry King's answer was that he would like to interview Jesus. When the questioner followed with, and what would you like to ask him? Larry King replied, I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me. That's what Larry King said. He says that would define history. That would define everything for Larry King. That's what he was talking about. That's what he was referencing. So, family, the question today is this. Why is this such an important or a history-defining day? The day we celebrate the birth of Christ. Why is this? I mean, some will suggest, hey, you know, I don't understand what all the fuss is about. You know, Christmas is a holiday season. I mean, but, you know, the church is all upset because, you know, we're not paying enough attention to what Christ has done. I mean, some have even asked me in the past, have even asked me, Shane, why is it that you find a way to bring this topic up every single Sunday? You make such an effort to talk about the birth and the death of Christ every single Sunday. And my response was, well, here at Central Baptist Church, every Sunday is Christmas and Easter. Because every Sunday, it's all about one thing. It's about Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to exalt Christ. When we speak, we want to speak Christ. When we sing, we want to sing Christ. Not just Easter. It's all the time. My complaint is not, hey, Shane, why are you so upset that people aren't making Christ the focus of Christmas? I'm more upset about Christ not being the focus of everything. Why is Christ not the focus of every single aspect of our lives? This is the most wonderful time of the year. But for our world and our culture, the question is it really because of the birth of Christ? Or does our culture, when it comes to Christmas, do they think it's about great parties, it's about great food? And I mean, there's good food on Christmas time. I ain't gonna lie, some of that glazed ham, whoo, yeah. I'm getting hungry. Great decorations, oh yeah, it's about great decorations, yes. And we love decorations. It seems like it's about, you know, great presents too. It's about the gifts. That's what we see inundated on television, on in the mail. I mean, email even. I mean, email, I get 100 of these things a day. Just the way we got sales, you got to get the present, you got to get the stocking stuffers, and then we see this on TV. All of this stuff is that we're losing sight of stuff. And not only are we losing sight, it's also bringing confusion. And this bringing confusion in our world. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was something that it was sad, but it was funny at the same time. So I laughed and somewhat cried at the same time when I saw this. I'm going through Facebook, you know, like I do, and I'm looking, and somebody had posted, we don't think the world really gets it yet. Okay, we're still not sure that the world gets it. And what was it? It was in Japan, and they were walking in the mall, and right there in the window, you know, the window for the store, is a cross, and Santa Claus is nailed to it. So this is the thing it's funny because it's like, yeah, they're obviously getting mixed messages. All of this stuff with what we're doing with Christmas, we're sending a message to the world that's confusing. Because I wonder, family, are we confused? Have we lost the meaning of Christmas? I mean, it does to me feel like it. I mean, you know, several years ago in Hawaii, they all came out and they were doing everything that they could to get Christ out of Christmas. You know, we're seeing it in our country today. Happy holidays. Everything we can to not say Christ. Are we losing one of the most important Christian celebrations of the year? Are we missing it? Are we losing something here? Are we losing one of the most important doctrines of Christianity? One that's so important that it should be highlighted and proclaimed every single Sunday. This is one of the most essentials to understanding the beauty of the gospel. Because family, it's a must. There is no Christianity without the birth of Christ. Don't believe me? Well, let's ask the scriptures. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Let's just take a little bit of that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. The word of the Lord declares, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness." Let's pray. Father, thank you. You didn't leave us. You could have left us in our sin and our rebellion, but you didn't. Father, that you sent your son Jesus to come into this world, to be born of a virgin, to become like us, to become man, to be that sacrifice, and to truly, truly bring us salvation. Salvation that we didn't deserve. But Father, you gave, not because of what we've done, but because of who you are. So Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today is we're going to explore the significance of this thing, just briefly, the significance of this thing called the virgin birth. The second thing we're going to explore deeper is the necessity of the humanity of Christ and why this was actually vital to our faith. And the last thing we're going to look at is I'm hoping today we take a good, hard, sobering, and honest look at ourselves this past couple of weeks and reflect on how we have walked through this holiday season and to know that we will find hope for the holidays, but we'll find it in Christ and in Christ alone. So Christ during the holiday season, it is the truth of the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit that will rekindle our vibrancy for the truth and for joy that we find in Christ, the light of the world. Joy that we find in Christ. So number one, the significance of the virgin birth. So we saw, even with Larry King saw the significance of the virgin birth, that its truth or its falsity will actually define history for him. The reality of it will define history, not just for him, but for many people. So when you look at the virgin birth, there are numerous reasons why this is important. I just want to highlight a couple this morning. Number one, the virgin birth shows us that salvation belongs to the Lord. This is huge. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15, our first gospel promise that received at the very beginning. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Which is the very first gospel promise, the very first promise of Christ that we receive. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's the understanding that Jesus was born of a virgin to make it clear that salvation comes by the work of God. Now, family, this is huge. We've got to always recognize this, and we've always got to make this clear. The virgin birth is making it very clear that what Jesus, when he said, when it came to salvation, when he said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see that? All things are possible. This is not humanly possible. There is nothing that we could do to ever save ourselves or to save another person. Only God could do this. Only God could. We can't do this. So what this does, family, is it brings us to our knees, making it very, very clear that it takes so much more than we have to offer to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Only God can bring us salvation. You see that? Because a virgin birth, with man, it's impossible. But with God, then I wonder if we really even thought about it. Do you know that the virgin birth, it helps me to understand this under the thing that you hear all the time when it comes to the scriptures and it comes to sermons, understanding Jesus as the theanthropon or the God-man. You know, you've heard that. Jesus is the God-man. And so he's God and he's man, right? We've heard that. You got to remember, you got to believe. It's so important that we believe that Jesus is God and that Jesus is man. Now, this is what's amazing. Just think about this. If Jesus was born or manifested and God fashioned him with the angels and everything up in heaven, and then Jesus, in all his glory, descends from heaven down to the ground, surrounded by angels and the trumpets and everything are going, and he descended. I think that for many of us, if we saw something like this, we might have a hard time believing that Jesus was human. Right? I mean, I think about that. Like, if we actually witnessed that, and then he was saying that I am the Son of Man, I am man, I am flesh, you know, that he is the thinking, I don't know. Because human beings don't normally descend from the sky, unless you believe, you know, that babies come from storks that fall from the sky. I know we don't believe that, right? Well, at least most of us, I hope, don't believe that. Is that what you're still telling your kids? Okay, sorry. Yeah, I don't like that conversation either. Excuse me. We would have a hard time. But here's the other thing. If Jesus was born of Mary and of Joseph, and both of them together, they got married, and they came together, consummated their marriage, and, sorry, blew it for you, and 9 months later, they give birth to Jesus. Now, with that situation, it might be a different issue. Like, if he's descended from me, I may have a hard time believing that he was man. But if Jesus was born the same as everybody else, we would have a hard time believing he was God. And that's the beauty of the virgin birth. If he was born a man infused with divinity, we would have a hard time believing that he was God, because it's too normal divine wisdom. He helps us by using both human and divine influences in the birth of Christ, so that we can see the work of humanity with the actual birth, and we see the work of divinity in that a virgin was conceived, or the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Something extraordinary, something amazing. You see, so I think that when we recognize this and we see this, we have an easier time understanding that Jesus is God and Jesus is man. But there's also something else that's important with this too. Because if Christ was born in the normal way that humans were born, because if he wasn't conceived by the Holy Spirit, then he would receive this thing called imputed sin. And Christ would fall into the same line and receive the same imputed sin, inherited sin, the same condemnation that all humans had because of what Adam did. He was not born in sin. Because of this, then he was not born in sin like we are. Some people would say, well, like we are? We were born in sin? Yes, I'm afraid so. Sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. For everyone sinned. Psalm 51:5. For I was born a sinner. This is David talking. I was born a sinner, yes. From the moment my mother conceived me, he was a sinner. Psalm 58:3. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have lied and gone their own way. Amen. People are like, what? You mean children? Little children? See, this is what I've always said to people. It's like, you know, when it comes to original sin, inherited sin, you know, it's just like we have enough scripture to back that up. We have enough scripture to confirm the sin nature of all human beings. If you need additional proof, I always say children. What? You mean those cute, lovable, amazing, amazing little people that run around? That's your proof of the sin nature? Absolutely. If you had them, you know. And be like, well, you know, they're cute, all this kind of stuff. I just said, well, all I got to do is say one thing. You know why? Because it's natural. It's their nature. Nobody has to teach us how to be bad. You didn't have to teach me. I didn't have to, you know, sit down with, you know, my daughters and my son and just say, okay, let me teach you about this thing called lying. Let me tell you how to lie. Let me tell you how to steal. Let me tell you how to be a bully. Let me show you how to go take that toy away from that kid, push him down, and then go take it and go play with it in the corner. Did we ever have to do any of these things? Never had to teach him that. It's there, corruption. And so what happened here is the virgin birth and Christ being conceived by the Holy Spirit was a break in the chain. It was a break in the chain. And so he doesn't carry the guilt and the corruption that we all inherited from Adam. That is why Christ is a perfect man. That's why he's perfect. So family, yes, it was important. The virgin birth of Christ is something that's extraordinary, something that's amazing. And family, because it's definitely declared in the Word of God and all throughout all of church history, family, we can be sure that it's true. So again, we don't need to interview as Christ already told us. We don't need to interview him. We already have his word right here. No incarnation, no salvation. So you know what, family? This is the thing that's amazing. When we look at the virgin birth, I love to celebrate in this because we see an absolute beauty of truth that's well represented here. And that truth is, God's ways are not our ways. And here's the thing. Don't we rejoice in that? I am so glad God doesn't do things my way. I'm sure many of us would say that. We're so glad that God didn't do things our way. God, I'm so thankful that this time when I prayed, I'm so thankful you didn't answer it. Because your ways are not our ways. And we continue to see how this works in the hands, that we are supposed to look at God's work and see something different. We as Christians, we don't look at things with the same worldview as the world. We have, as Christians, we're supposed to have a different set of lenses, don't we? That when we look at the things that God does, we don't wonder at how amazing our God is. This is the very reasons, hear me on this, the very reasons the skeptics say why they won't believe are the reasons why we rejoice in hope. And you hear the skeptics talk, I can't believe that Jesus was God because of this, and all the reasons that they give, every time I listen to these reasons, all it does is make me rejoice in hope. Well, what do you mean? They say that it's impossible, but we rejoice because God says that he is the God who is able to do the impossible. So every time they say, that's impossible, I think, God. That's impossible, Shane. God. You guys following me? I'm hoping you're following me. The more the world cries, that's impossible, the more the church cries, Jesus is the Son of God. Every time I hear impossible, I rejoice. Sure, the virgin birth continues to boggle the minds of many. Many in the world with their continued conclusions of the reality of the paradox. Many stand bewildered, squinting their eyes, with eyes wide open in wonder at this amazing thing. It's amazing, Christian. We get to witness so much that is wonderful because the Lord has opened our eyes so that we can see it. We can see this amazing thing. That's why when the world cries, that's impossible, the church cries, Jesus is the Son of God. And the paradox, they say, this paradox, Shane, with the virgin birth and the resurrection of Christ and all of these things, this is just what makes me believe that this is not true. Makes me believe that it's impossible, so it's not true. But family, the impossible can only be done by God. And that's why I think, God, it's a wonderful paradox. I love it. A wonderful paradox. Jesus comes into this world by way of a virgin womb, then departs by way of an empty tomb. Did you guys get that? Hear that? He comes in through a virgin womb and exits through an empty tomb. The paradox is incredible. He comes in and he comes out with the sign that says, no exit. Oh, Shane, that's impossible. No, that's God. Amen. That is God. So when the world cries, that's impossible, the church cries, Jesus is the Son of God. This is the awesome way of our Lord. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I love the bewilderment. I love that I have to stand here and just be like, man, that boggles the mind. Lord, you are incredible. That's why I love the whole thing about the Trinity. You know, well, Shane, I have a hard time believing in God. Why? Because I have a hard time believing in the Trinity. Man, do you recognize and realize that it's the mystery of the Trinity, the thing that boggles our mind about the Trinity, that makes me believe that he is God? Well, when he describes the Trinity, we can't understand him. Because he's God. Are you guys getting that? You're seeing that? Family, if you could completely understand him, I would question whether he was God. He's just an interesting person. Right? I kid you not, believer, and he was brought up Jehovah's Witness, and so, you know, one of the things that happens with Jehovah's Witnesses is they have a very difficult time when it comes to the Trinity. So my cousin had a hard time with the Trinity. He just struggled with it, had a difficult time, and said, you know, that's the one thing that I like Christianity and all that kind of stuff, but I tell you what, I cannot get over the Trinity. And so my parents and people all over always told him, well, you know, the Trinity is this, and just trying to explain the reality of the Trinity, trying to reason through the Trinity, and I kid you not, he rejected all of them, right? He rejected all of them, said no, 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 and it just almost solidified his view. Now, let me just say this as a side note. Anything that people give, examples that they give to explain the Trinity, every single one of them is a heresy. I could prove it to you. Everything you want to do the sun, you want to do the egg, you want to do the pyramid, you want to do all that stuff. That should show you something. That should tell you something. There is no way for us to describe with human means an infinite God. You know what God says? Hey, you know, don't fashion any statues, don't make anything, you know, the second commandment, don't make, that we could do. There is nothing in this world that would be able to represent our God. That's just amazing. Anyway, so this is what I told my cousin. I said, he goes, you know, because nobody has been able to convince me of this. And I just said, because you can't. The Trinity boggles the mind. We're talking about something, about God's substance, who he is. And I said, Alan, dude, this is the reason why. I believe this strengthens my faith. Because we can't understand it, it's proving to me that he's so much more than we are. And he was like, you know, I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. And he was just like, that the inability for us to explain this would mean that he's God. I said, yeah, you see? And I kid you not, it was right then, at that moment, tears formed in his eyes. He started to cry and profess that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he became a Christian. These are things that's amazing. These are things that show how amazing our God is. So the idea about Jesus being God, but one of the things that's running through my mind is, why did he have to be man? Why was it important for Jesus to be man? Because Dr. Wayne Grudem, a very, very popular systematic theologian, he said this, to deny the humanity of Christ is to deny something at the very heart of Christianity. Wow. So this is something that's new, right? It's something that's different today, because it's almost like our world and our culture today, we have no problems acknowledging the fact that Jesus was man. Our struggle is the denial that Jesus is God, you know? And so people are just like, well, you know, that's bad. You know, you're not really a Christian, or you're not really born again or an evangelical if you don't believe that Jesus was God. And so we say, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you know, heretical, you know, and this is true, heretical. If you don't believe Jesus is God, then it's heretical. But what Wayne Grudem is actually saying this is, if you don't believe that Jesus was a man, that's heretical. Did you know that? If you deny that Jesus was a man, or was not a man, oh yeah, if you deny that Jesus was a man, that's heresy. And the Apostle John makes this very, very clear with a very important warning. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. 1 John, Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. And it gets worse. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and is indeed already here. Oh, man. Now, talk about strong warning. Do you see what he says? If someone came saying that Jesus came in a real body, that's good. Because, here's the thing. This is the thing that's amazing. This is what we've got to see and recognize. He is talking about those who were denying that Jesus was actually human. And he's saying, and I think this is a general thing, this is what's really important. If you do not teach the truth about Christ, if you don't acknowledge the fact that Jesus is God, if you don't acknowledge that Jesus was man, if you don't teach the truth about Christ, what has the Word of God said? That person is not from God. Teaching the truth about Christ. And if there is, you know, when it comes to theology and doctrine, you know, there's all kinds of different views and opinions and all of this kind of stuff. Family, when it comes to Christ, the scriptures can't be more clear. We can see, we recognize, we know. See, it's the thing that's really interesting is that today it's common for us to hear groups and people deny that Jesus was God. But in the first century, during the time of the apostles and the disciples, the common heresy was the denial that Jesus was man. Isn't that funny? This is like, it's so different. It's so different from our culture today. It's like the whole fight in the first century was over all the disciples and everybody were having to prove that Jesus was actually a man because they kept denying the fact that he was a man. But it's vital for us to understand Christ becoming human. Because what we needed, number one, is we needed a representative. We needed somebody like Adam to represent mankind. Do you realize that the reason why we're all sinful and we're all sinners in Adam is because Adam was our representative. What Adam did condemned all of mankind. And it happens. We can see this today, you know. Let's just say, hey, you know, we our government officials, when they say something wrong, we all suffer for it, right? The president of the United States wakes up in the morning and pushes the red button. The missiles. We are all going to suffer. Why? Because he is our representative. Adam was the representative of all of mankind. So what we needed was we needed another representative to come in to be successful where Adam failed. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 to 19. Romans 5, 18 to 19. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Amen. He was our representative. He represented us. He lived the life that we should have lived. So family, no incarnation, no salvation. No representation, no salvation. He was also had to be man so that he could be our substitute. He had to be a substitute. He died the death we should have died. And he could die. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Did you see what the Word of God said? He had to be made in every respect like us, so he could be our substitute. If he was not man, his death wouldn't have mattered, right? If God is going to take penalty and payment for man's sin, well, it had to be man paying that penalty. He wasn't going to take chewing gum. He wasn't going to take a lollipop. He wasn't going to take MasterCard or Visa. If we were going to pay the penalty, it would have to be death and death of a man. He died the death we should have died. No incarnation, no salvation. No representation, no salvation. No propitiation, paying for our sins, no salvation. He was also to be our mediator, to be between us and God the Father. Because of sin, we were alienated from our holy God, because he and that's trying to get his friends to bury the hatchet, to become friends again. We needed to have mediation. And in order for our mediator to be a good mediator, to represent one side of the party, human beings, he had to be human. Wow. And you know what? In order for him to be a good mediator for the other side of the party, which was God, he had to be God. So if there is alienation between God and humans, what would be a perfect mediator? One who was God and human. Wow. Mediation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. No birth of Christ, no mediation. No mediation, no salvation. And here's one last reason, and the last reason I'll give, and it is very, very, let me say it again, very, very, one more time, very, very important reason. God said, and man, that should be enough, shouldn't it? Janet? It's going to happen this way. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus had to be man. Jesus had to be God. All of this stuff, simply because God said it. And because God said it, not only was it going to be that way, it must be that way. Right? God said it. That's enough. That's all we need. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7, 14. All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So scriptures, God said it. This is a letter from Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, Romans 1, 1 to 4. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen to be God, to be an apostle, and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. The good news is about his son. In his God, when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what Paul is saying. Of course this is going to happen. And I want to show you it's going to happen. Because this Christ coming into this world fulfills the scriptures. It fulfills what God had promised. It fulfilled what God had declared. These are the scriptures, family. It's the inspired word of God. This is why I'm saying we don't need to interview Jesus to get answers to these questions. We have it already. It's right there. If Christ, because of God's revelation here, if Christ is not born and born to become a man, then, well, there are certain things that we could see. Number one, if this isn't the case, then maybe Jesus was a lunatic. That's what the world thinks. Maybe he was a lunatic. Then Jesus just had no idea what was going on. He's not in control. Jesus is not aware. Jesus is not playing with a full deck. Jesus has lost his marbles. Jesus' cheese fell off his cracker. I don't know if you guys ever heard that saying before. He doesn't have it together. If Jesus was a lunatic, then we have no revelation from God. No revelation no salvation. If he's not a lunatic, then maybe Jesus is a liar. If Jesus is a liar, then there's no revelation from God. Trust it. No revelation from God. If there's no revelation, there's no salvation. The scriptures then are worthless. So people will say, well, then, and this is something I'm following with what C.S. Lewis gave. He says, people will say, well, he's a lunatic. Well, then if he's not a lunatic, then he's a liar. And if he's not a lunatic, if Jesus is not a liar, then there's only one other conclusion. He's Lord. This is revelation, family. No revelation, no salvation. This is why the birth of Jesus is important. Do you see? I'm hoping that we're seeing today as to why this is an important time for us to celebrate. I'm hoping that we're also seeing today that this is why we make it a point for us to proclaim the birth and death of Jesus every single Sunday. This is something that can't go undeclared. We have to declare it. It's not something that we should only be declaring on Sundays. This is something that we should be declaring every day. Declaring the gospel of Jesus every day. Mankind, to be a substitute, to be a mediator, to save us. It's the gospel of Jesus. This is why it's so important. So family, today, here's the big thing. No birth of Jesus, no salvation for man. No incarnation, no salvation. No representation, no salvation. No propitiation, no salvation. No mediation, no salvation. No revelation, no salvation. Tiki tiki timbo, no sarimbo. You all didn't read that book? I'm hoping that'll help you remember. When it's Christmas time, do we immediately think of all this? I mean, this is the most wonderful time of year. But for us as Christians, it's the most wonderful time. Every day. Not just, part of a month. Salvation is here. And we have it in Christ. And we're not looking for a Christ, the Messiah that's coming. We're worshiping the Messiah that came. And he died, and he reconciled, and he made a in front of us that said, no exit. Now the sign says, come, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We just can't sometimes, I just, even for myself, I have to repent every time we get to this season. I just can't get through this month without getting frustrated at one point, you know, or arguing with my wife over, you know, the people that are coming over and trying to get ready for our party, and mad and upset when we asked our kids, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And it's just da 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 da. And it's all expensive, and it's just like our response is just like, what do you think? We're made out of money? Don't you realize your dad is a pastor? And you know, and why they're behaving this way? Why are we behaving this way when we're a child of God? How many times did we lose our patience with the retail, you know, clerk who is a temp person and doesn't know how to do the cash register, you know, well? And we're over there. I gotta go. I'm gonna be late for church. Some of you got that. How many of us lost focus? Oh, get it? They come back out and said, oh, no, we were sold out 2 days ago. Well, you need to fix your computer. How many of us got mad just by something simple like parking? You know, where we're sitting there, going to take the parking spot, we put our blinker on, so everybody knows we're going to take that spot, the car pulls out, you let the person go, and somebody comes around the corner and goes, zoop. How many of us got upset? How many of us are just so frustrated this year and so angry that you know, deep down inside, it's just like, you know, at times, you know, we don't care. It's just like, you know, you're walking, you got your bags, and you're walking to your car. And when you're walking to your car, you see somebody going like, oh, are you leaving? Oh, yeah, I'm leaving. And you walk slower. Yeah, I'm leaving. Yeah. And getting so upset, traffic upon traffic, putting things on hold, getting put on hold, and retail people they're all frustrated already, and they're just not nice because they're just frustrated already. And family, and then there's that thing called sin that just comes in. Doesn't it? It causes us to focus on ourselves more than God's command. We consider others as better than ourselves. That what happens is sin comes in and it causes us to focus on the creation instead of the creator. And sin comes in and causes us to focus on ourselves, me, myself, and I, with all my soul, mind, and strength, instead of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And sin causes us to focus on everything that leads us away from the manger to the mall. Leads us away from the King of Kings to the party and King Supers. Family, here's the last thing. Sin causes us, hear me on this, sin causes us to focus on the season instead of the reason. Wow. We're losing focus today. Losing it because of sin, because of the pattern of this world. But family, rejoice today, because the King that was born in a manger, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, it goes through these holiday seasons and I just see sometimes just it reminds me as to why I needed to be saved. And I get on my knees and I thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for coming into this world. Thank you for dying on this cross. And I know that because of what you have done, because of what you have sacrificed, because of what you have given, I was lost, but now I'm found. And sin, the sin that I just committed, all of these things that I have committed, I know right now it is covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I have life. I can rejoice today and every day because Emmanuel has come. And Emmanuel has come to save. And we see that salvation belongs to the Lord. We are not saved because of what we do. We are saved because of what he has done. And our Lord is awesome. And because of what Christ has done, because Christ coming into this world, being born of a virgin, we have life. And we have life more abundant. Family, he lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. He died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. If you're not a Christian today, the promise comes out for you. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you can be saved, there is life and life more abundant for us today. So family, let's not forget the importance of the birth of Christ. Every time we come to this time, let's not forget the beauty of the birth of Christ, the virgin birth. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.